Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. Joining me today, Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. Well, David, we've been discussing the topic of revival, what it's like when there's an overwhelming sense of the presence of the Lord in the church. You've studied revival all your life. Do times of revival all look the same?
Yes and no. Obviously, if you have revival in the 1700s, the 1800s in America, it will look a lot different than it would look in our day. And it's also true if you see revival in England or you see it in China, you read of these different things, all of them have their cultural impact. But you always get the same characteristics. They're always there, you know, and we've talked about some of those. Maybe we could do a review. You want to do the review or you want me to, Dean?
Oh, I think you should.
Well, you always see worship. In fact, it's one of the first things that comes, that people are aware of God's presence and they want to tell him how grateful they are just to be his children. And always love is going to mark the situation. If you don't have love among the people, you don't have revival. That's one of the early signs. Holiness is, we use that word, and I guess I come back to it a lot, holiness. People are very aware of sin, and they know that sin and God don't go together, so that's a part. When there's a revival, you have people who are very open to serving Jesus. To sense Jesus' presence, you want to say, you've done so much for me, Jesus, what can I do for you? So those are all parts of what is going on.
Okay, those are the kinds of specifics that mark the Lord's presence in his church. Are there others? What are some more of them?
Well, if we take just one, I would be happy because it'll probably take us the podcast to cover that one, okay?
Okay.
I think I would express it this way, Dean. The Word of God comes alive. If I were preaching in a church and all of a sudden people became aware of the presence of the Lord, say Jesus walked down the aisle and sat in, I don't know, in folding chair or pew number three or whatever it is, all of a sudden what's being preached takes on a different dimension. And I can think of myself preaching at a certain time and maybe Jesus saying amen. You know, all of a sudden everyone's going to listen up and say, wow, Jesus said amen, you know. So the presence of the Lord does that. It's also true that it affects the preacher a great deal. If someone said to me, this is going to be an unusual Sunday because though you're coming as guest speaker to this church, Jesus is going to attend. Do you think I'm going to work on that sermon? You know, I'm going to check it over and over again to say, I wonder if Jesus is saying that's exactly what I would have said and how I would have said it, you know. So there's a great seriousness in terms of what's going on in the mind of the preacher and also in the mind of the listener. So in that kind of context, the Word of God comes alive, and always during revival times, the Word of God comes alive. So that's one of those consistent things that happens.
So it sounds to me like the Lord's presence changes both the preacher and the listeners, right?
Yes, very much. And certainly that's so in terms of the listener. I've been in situations where all of a sudden, say in a service, it gets very quiet. And you're aware that something unusual is happening. There's an intensity that wasn't there. And most of the times that depends on what the person is saying. I've been in all kinds of services where there's no intensity whatsoever. You know, you've been to church, you've heard a sermon, you've heard one, you've heard them all. But that's not true during revival times. People come with an expectation. They are disappointed if they don't experience that. And again, that's one of the key characteristics of times of authentic revival. And it goes on week after week after week until such time as either the praying stops or the sense of the presence of the Lord vanishes or people begin to play around with sin or whatever interferes with what's taking place.
I'm not sure I know why, but when I think of revival preaching, I think of it as being loud. Is that fair?
If you lived 200 years ago, it would be. You know, revival preaching drew great crowds. And the only way you could preach to great crowds back in those days was to holler or project. So, say George Whitfield, they said they could hear him almost for a mile away, you know. So they had phenomenal lung power. But they had to because there were so many people coming. So revival preaching in the early days certainly took on a characteristic of volume, there's no question. You know, what has happened over time is that preachers have carried on that volume style. and they didn't need to anymore because they had microphones. So now I don't think I would characterize revival preaching as loud, although sometimes, quote, revival preachers, if you see it in the context I'm saying it, they're loud. They preach loud and hard and sweat, you know, and all the rest. But I think in today's world, probably, I wouldn't characterize it as loud. I would imagine Jesus, you think of Jesus as very mild, but I think he had to speak very loudly because the crowds were very loud. He didn't have much choice. So I don't know if he knew how to play the acoustical angle so you stand in the best place so everybody can hear you. But loud in the past, maybe not loud now.
Yeah, it's interesting to imagine what it would have been like to gather 5,000 people, 5,000 men, not counting women and children, to hear Jesus preach. He obviously had the ability. And I remember a story that was told about Whitfield preaching. I think it was Benjamin Franklin that heard him preached and went out several blocks away to see how far he could hear. And it was astonishing the number of blocks away from where Whitfield was preaching in the town square that Ben Franklin could hear him clearly and understand the words he was saying. And so it makes sense that the preaching would be loud. When I think of loud revivalist type preachers today, I think of the fact that we're making a distinction between a week of special meetings that are called revival meetings and a true movement of God's Spirit.
Yeah, the two could be synonymous, but they aren't necessarily.
Right. Mm-hmm. It would seem to me that if we were to begin to experience revival, the preaching coming alive wouldn't necessarily have to be loud, but we would certainly sense an anointing of the Spirit.
Yeah, there's an interesting phrase at the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which is the longest sermon we have of his in the scriptures. It says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority, not as their teachers of the law. So maybe that's the better way to talk about Jesus' preaching. It had phenomenal authority. Yeah, it was like probably God kind of reached through their stomach and grabbed their backbone and just shook them, you know, and affected their whole being.
So if Jesus were actually bodily present in the church of a pastor listening to us right now, how would that affect the minister and the people?
Well, I think it would scare the daylights out of the minister, you know, and he would see the awesome responsibility that he's been called to perform. It's not just, I got to crank out another sermon this week, but I am going to speak on behalf of my Lord, but he's going to be sitting there. And so there's preparation, there's great sense of insecurity, which I think should be there. And at the same time, there's time spent in prayer. Am I saying what you want me to say? Is this the timely thing? Should I be speaking a word of comfort? Should I be speaking a word of challenge? You know, Jesus, you know, I need your help. There's that great awareness of, I can't do this on my own. I'm not God. So come and be near me. I think that's the way the minister is affected. I think the way the people are affected is that they come saying, we want to hear your voice, God. You know, I'm not sure people come that way to church. It's kind of, again, it's a routine you get into. But I want to hear you speak this morning to my heart, and I want to be your person, Jesus. So help me to hear what you want me to hear. And I think as a person goes with that attitude, they can come away very thrilled or they can come away very disappointed. It's like, I was wanting to hear from you and I just heard from so-and-so. Mm-hmm. You know, he was talking, but I don't think he was talking your words. Jesus, there needs to be a change here. And I don't think that is a critical sense. I think that's a longing of the heart that says, Jesus, you know, we need you to be present. We need something more than just the human. We need the supernatural there.
And asking for Jesus to come and be present, will he actually be there?
Oh, that's such a good question, Dean. And, you know, I say the words and then you probably will think he's not saying it strongly enough. He is there. Mm-hmm. Every time his people come together, he is there present with them. That's one of the reasons we begin the service with praise and worship, saying how fortunate we are. But it's true you could even go through those forms and not be aware of what you're doing. You're just singing a song. Or you're just somebody saying words that supposedly are a prayer, but there's no sense of feeling to what is going on. The church needs to recapture that sense of the Lord's presence. It's what people who pray for revival ask for, God. bring your presence among us once again. You know, we don't want to just go through the motions. That was Israel's great sin. They went through the motions, but they were not heart involved in what was going on. So, yes, he will be there, but I don't want it to be that he will be there and he'll be disappointed. That would be the most, that would be the saddest thing that could imagine. Jesus came, you know, but he went away and he thought, oh man, they're not doing it the way they need to be. They don't understand the privilege they have.
That would certainly be a call to revival or a call toward revival if people came to the realization that if Jesus were there, he wouldn't be pleased. Mm-hmm. He would be sad. That's part of the idea of becoming dissatisfied with meager spiritual fare.
Yeah, that's the church in Laodicea.
Yeah,
you know, I stand at the door and knock. It's not knocking on your heart's door. It's knocking on the door of the church. It's the most pitiful of all pictures. Here's Jesus, the head of the church, knocking on the door of the church. If you let me in, we could have a relationship that you would really enjoy, but you have to let me in.
Yes, and not only a personal relationship. Most believers, or a lot of believers, think about their relationship with Jesus as a personal relationship, mm-hmm. and it is. But there's also that corporate relationship in the church.
Very much.
And sometimes individual believers that are sensing things aren't right when they're sitting in church, what they're sensing is that there's been some kind of breach with that corporate relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important for the people as a body of believers to have a strong desire for Christ to be present.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a strange thing, but sometimes it's the ones who are dissatisfied who are closest to triggering the revival. I think ministers on occasion can be irritated by the individuals who are dissatisfied. Dissatisfaction spiritually can lead to complaining, grumpiness, all the rest, but it can also lead to a hunger for something more, and that's what you want to have happen.
Yeah, yeah. Desire for Christ's presence. Well, we're very glad you've been with us for this podcast, and we certainly invite you to come back and join us. We also invite you to visit our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. We hope you'll join us again when next we meet.